Welcome back into the program. You're listening to the Abby Award-winning Sports Talk Show. This is Sports Call on Tiger 95.9 FM and the Tiger Communications app. JJ Jackson with Tom, Brant, and Javon all inside our studios. And gentlemen, it's our favorite time of the week. It's a Wednesday. We've got to go chat with Joe Bartle from RotoWire, who you need to utilize to help dominate your fantasy football league. JB, kind enough to join us now. Joe, what's up, man?
Hey, not too much. It was a glorious 45 degrees here in Wisconsin, so nice time to get outside before like it starts snowing tomorrow, it feels like.
I was about to say, y'all got y'all's first snow up there in Wisconsin over the last couple of days, didn't you?
Yeah, we did. I like it. My wife is not a huge snow fan, and honestly, we do not have the vehicles to necessarily control the elements as well as other Wisconsinites do, so it is a little bit more concerning than other people, but I like the snow, and it really does. And I assume you're talking about Lambeau. I mean, like, it really does make Lambeau look even more beautiful than it normally is. And, like, I've been at games that have been snow games, and my wife has been always a huge fan of the games that are cold because that's what makes Lambeau Lambeau. And I like it when we get to have that national stage and kind of others get to see the beauty of that, too, especially at night games.
Yeah, see, and me growing up in the South, we very rarely get the snow, but the times that I've spent up in Wisconsin, I've actually gotten to see some Wisconsin snow, so I'm sure some of the natives up there thought I was an idiot out there running around in the snow, and everybody's busy shoveling driveways and just dreading what they had to do, and I'm busy out there making snow angels like a fool, so...
We've definitely seen a person or two like that in our time, and honestly, as a Wisconsinite through and through, I can tell you, I'm like, oh, yeah, that would be exciting if that was your first time at school, like it might be, or you haven't got experience snow very often. We have some relatives that are from the South, too, and they've come up specifically to have those moments of the snow, and I think that's a cool thing.
Perfect. Joe Bartle from RotoWire joining us here on Sports Call today. Let's get to it. Let's talk ball. So, obviously, we had the monumental phone call with you 2 weeks ago now where we had some trade negotiations taking place. Last week was a little bit more calm. What we did not foresee, Joe, was that in a span of less than 24 hours, the native Auburn son, Cameron Jarrell Newton, was going to be re-signed by the Carolina Panthers and set the football world on fire. Everyone in Auburn absolutely thrilled by what took place over the weekend. How did we get to this point, Joe? This is crazy that Cam's back in the football world.
Yeah, I didn't even think about it from your guys' perspective. I mean, I've been on the show now, I feel like,
years.
3-4 years. Yeah, exactly. And you always ask me about Cam Newton as the first question. It's like an automatic check mark on these interviews. And I'm a huge fan of Cam Newton's talent. I don't think he has been for a while the Cam Newton that we all know and love him to be. So when I say disparaging comments, it's not about like Cam himself. It's more just, hey, you know, that's not the all-pro MVP quarterback and the consistent collegiate threat that he was when he was with Auburn. I don't know. Maybe there's some rejuvenation with Cam Newton in his second stint with the Panthers. I don't know. Like, by default, he is better than P.J. Walker, and I think he has to be better than Sam Darnold, too. And I thought the Panthers, especially at the early start of the season, were a possible playoff contender. Now, certainly, with how stacked the NFC is, at least top-heavy, they weren't going to win, I don't think, a playoff game. But the fact that they've fallen out of playoff contention, or at least down at the bottom of that 5-6-7 seed, I thought has been really an indictment on Sam Darnold, who I was high on entering this season. So I think Cam Newton, there are plenty of weapons. I'm confused as to why the Panthers continue to put Terrace Marshall as their slot wide receiver when you got a guy like DJ Moore who's literally tailor-made for that. Like, they are making troubling offensive decisions as is. If that offense struggles, I don't think it's on Cam Newton at this point. I think it's on the talent evaluation and the talent decision that the coaching staff seems to be making at the moment. But I think Cam Newton has to be better than Sam Darnold at this point and adds that mobile threat, too. And we saw Sam Darnold have, what, 6-plus rushing touchdowns in those first 5 or 6 weeks?
Yeah.
That's easy, easy money for Cam Newton at this point. And I think he might be kind of a low-end, I don't know, low-end quarterback one, but I think he could be in a super flex league some of those you can consistently start each and every week.
Well, that's what I'm curious about, the next fantasy football perspective side of things with this. From your perspective and when you start to project what the product, what the outcome could be, Matt Rhule has been tongue-in-cheek as to whether or not Cam's going to be the starter. He's going to be the starter on Sunday at Bank of America Stadium. He's going to have his grand entrance into the stadium that he always has. As they prepare to play the Washington football team, and for the first time in Ron Rivera's coaching year, he's got to scout and go up against number one in white. What are the numbers that you could foresee from Cam, and is he worth being in your lineup this week?
Yeah, from a fantasy perspective, Washington's defense is certainly underachieved. They were one of the more highly drafted defenses to start the season, and they've just completely been discombobulated. I think that Chase Young's season-ending injury does not help things either. I think Cam Newton's going to get his fantasy points, and this is this week, but also the rest of the season, with those rushing touchdowns as opposed to the passing game. Like, I know we had that Seahawks game last year with the Patriots. I was like, oh yeah, Cam Newton still got it. And then really, throughout the last 3 years, we haven't seen a vintage Cam Newton passing performance. So I'm thinking like 225, maybe 250, if it ends up being a shootout, and I don't think it will be. Some of the Panthers' defense might be pretty good. And then Cam Newton gets the points off the rushing touchdowns, whether it be one or two. I think Christian McCaffrey being there helps. So I'm thinking maybe 18 to 22 fantasy points would be where I'd project him. And that puts him at like low-end quarterback one, like maybe quarterback 13, 14 score this week. The only issue is you have to guess which one of those quarterbacks score higher than him. And that can be hard sometimes when you throw him a random eyeball, Mike White games or stuff like that. I know Mike White's not starting anymore, but that kind of thing happens all the time. So I think Cam Newton could be, if you are in a pinch, maybe missing a Matthew Stafford, you need a Kyler Murray backup if he's out for a third straight week, that would be one of those situations I think you could start Cam Newton.
He's on Twitter at JB Fantasy Sports for all the fantasy advice that you need. All right, back closer to home here, as you we're letting you know each and every week, the closest NFL team to Auburn, Alabama, just an hour and a half up the road. Braves country, Falcons country as well. The Falcons are in the national spotlight as they've got a Thursday night game tomorrow versus the New England Patriots. What is the 4-1-1 on that battle on the football field? And then give us the fantasy logistics.
Yeah, that's the Mac Jones show.
Which we don't want to hear in Auburn, Joe.
Right, exactly. I wasn't a huge fan of Mac Jones entering this season. Like, I was all in on Trevor Lawrence. That's been obviously horrendously bad. And I was more or less fading Zach Wilson, too. Trey Lance and Justin Fields were being drafted way too high because I didn't think there was any way either of them were going to be starting, at least until this point in the season. Of course, Justin Fields has been playing. But, you know, Mac Jones has been pretty darn good. I'm continually amazed by what Bill Belichick is able to do, because the weapons that the Patriots have are not great. I mean, like, Kendrick Bourne is making plays that he never made with the 49ers. And you have situations where Nelson Agholor could be effective. And there's like a touchdown I got called back last week on a holding penalty, and Jacoby Myers finally scores his touchdown. Like, he's making guys that you wouldn't have expected to be successful as wide receivers do so. And while that does go to Bill Belichick and coaching staff, part of it's also on Mac Jones too. I think he fits their system perfectly. I don't anticipate this Falcons defense really being able to stop anything that the Patriots are able to throw on. The only way this game is close is if Bill Belichick says, hey, let's not put a lot on tape in this game. It's a Thursday night game. Let's just get out with the victory. We'll use Damien Harris if he is healthy. We'll use Ramondre Stevenson. J.J. Taylor's going to get involved. Like, that's the way I think this game can be like a 27-20 type of contest, because the Falcons can score. I think Kyle Pitts has kind of reasserted himself among the top tight ends, and with Calvin Ridley out, that's their top weapon. But if Cordell Patterson's not playing, I think he's questionable at the moment, or at least kind of trending toward that direction, that's a huge blow, and I never would have guessed that at week 11 of the fantasy season this year.
Talking with Joe Bartle here on Sports Call, talking a little fantasy football from Joe Bartle of Roto-Rire. But, Joe, a question I always bring up, at least here over the last couple of weeks, are the Kansas City Chiefs. We have discussed through their struggles of do you still hang on to guys like Mahomes and Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce? You know, what do you start thinking about that? All of a sudden, last week, they just absolutely go off against the Raiders. So big boom for anybody that kept them on their rosters. But now you've got the Cowboys, a much better team than the Raiders. Do you think the Chiefs have maybe turned a corner with the offense, or are you still a little bit cautious with them now going up against a better team?
Yeah, I mean, I've been pretty consistent all season that I'm not moving off the Tyreek Hill or Travis Kelce whatsoever. I didn't have many shares of any of them. I didn't have a draft spot to be able to take them because both those guys were going in the back in the first round, and you kind of had to make decisions how you wanted to structure the rest of your fantasy lineup if you were taking those players. So, if you were able to trade for them prior to last Monday, kudos to you because I think you have got some major dividends being paid out the rest of the season. I'm not worried about this matchup for the – I actually think the fact that playing the Cowboys is better because you have to have the foot on the pedal the entire time. And if Edwards-Helaire is going to be back, that makes a difference for the Chiefs' perspective. That they can maybe control the tempo a little bit more. But Darrell Williams has kind of developed into a pretty good receiving back. And I think if Mahomes is forced to continue to be a check-down guy, that's going to make a big deal. I just don't see Trayvon Diggs in that secondary. I think they're going to be jumping a lot of those passes. And Mahomes specifically is catered to beating this type of defense that is so aggressive and turnover-seeking that when he rolls out of the pocket, when he extends plays, he will be able to take advantage of those opportunities with the guys like Hill and Kelce that he has at his disposal. So I think it's all systems go for the Chiefs offense again on fantasy this week.
Joe Bartle, kind enough to join us here on the program today on the Auburn Bank phone line. Again, he works with RotoWire. He gives the best fantasy football advice for us each and every week. Like defenses, Joe, how do you go about picking the best defense to play?
That's an interesting question. I would have said in most seasons, there's a defense or two or three that emerge throughout the years. Pretty capable, obvious starts every single bit of the way through the year. And they're, like the Rams of past seasons, the 49ers of past seasons. You go back a decade or so, it's the Ravens and Bears. You're like, oh, yeah, those guys are worth earlier-ish picks in fantasy because they will consistently be able to provide you points. This year, though, I'm looking left and right. There is not a consistent rest-of-season defense that I can go out and recommend. The Buccaneers have great pass rushers. Their secondary is pretty beat up. They have off days all the time. The Pittsburgh Steelers can do a lot of pass rushing stuff, and they play a little bit low-tempo game, but they also have been exposed at different opportunities. The Ravens, not a very good defense at this point in the year. The Rams, certainly inconsistent as well, too. There just isn't one that I feel like, yep, plug and play each and every week. So when that happens, when there isn't a obvious plug and play each and every week, you really have to go, I think, kind of the streaming defense route. And I stream my defense all the time. For those newer to the fantasy scene, streaming is just picking up a defense each and every week that you think is an ideal matchup. The good news is, while there isn't a lot of obvious must-start defenses, there are a lot of obviously awful teams, Lions, Texans, Dolphins, I think, one Jacoby Brissett is your quarterback, all fit into that category, and you're more or less targeting them. The only issue is other people are doing the same thing, so you almost have to be proactive. And I'll sometimes roster two defenses projecting next week's matchup against Joe Flacco or Mike White or Zach Wilson to be able to start, and I'll use a roster spot because I think that has more value this year than ever before. And if you're in a pickle, don't have those options available to you. The other thing that a lot of people in the industry do is target low over-unders. And, I think, I guess I don't know what the Thursday over-under for Thursday's game is, but the Patriots defense tends to have a pretty low over-under overall, or the Patriots do, because they sit on the ball, they're pretty tempo.
That's really smart. Wow. Okay, yeah.
So if you are in a pinch, you just go after the low over-under game. So if you look at the slate, hey, this one's got 44 points. Vegas is normally smarter than just about every one of us. So if Vegas thinks this game's going to be low over-under, by default, you have to assume the defenses in that game will probably keep things competitive and therefore are good for a fantasy utility.
Tom, we are nowhere near qualified to be a part of these industry conversations he's speaking of.
Not at all.
Given that he has laughed at trade proposals we've given him on the show and called them the dumbest thing ever, put it out on the internet, on Twitter, criticizing what was heard and that sort of thing. But go to those industry discussions, Joe. Are there talks about whether or not a defense should be in a fantasy football league? Like, is that really worth putting skill together for?
I love that question. I haven't had that one too often. The defense, I think, should be in fantasy. There are some different variations where you're playing individual defensive players. We call that IDP leagues. So one of the bigger leagues that we do here at the office at RotoWire, we play in an IDP league where you have to have one defensive end, one linebacker, one safety. I like that more because there's a bit more skill. And I think over the past two or three weeks, there's been defenses that have gotten lucky touchdowns, the Titans specifically, you know, against the Rams. Nobody's playing the Titans. Really get a couple lucky touchdowns or breaks like that. And there is some skill element that is removed from fantasy when that equation comes to play. If you're talking about one position that probably should be removed in fantasy, though, it's kicker. I hear that one all the time from an industry perspective because there really is no rhyme or reason. And in some leagues, like I have a friends in the family league that I've been doing really since I first started getting into fantasy, not the industry, but into fantasy, and they just do standard scoring, so it's like any yardage and any touchdown you get points. The kicker is dominating. Like I won a league last week because my kicker scored 20 points. And I had nobody else score more than 5, but when you have a kicker scoring 20, that makes a huge difference. I think the kicker position could be removed a little bit more, or you put more of a penalty on missed field goals, missed extra points, where really when that happens in-game, that's a huge detriment for your team. In fantasy, it's not enough, and I think that could be like the good middle ground for that scenario.
I like asking you good questions then, Joe. I'm going to have to try to think of more of those.
I'm down for that, absolutely.
Good deal. Joe, give us the plug one more time. I haven't asked you in a few weeks, so again, if someone's maybe listening to our show that hasn't caught you before, where can they find your work and listen to you?
Yeah, you can follow me at JB Fantasy Sports on Twitter. I try to answer as many fantasy-related questions as I can. Honestly, the Sundays are the worst time to ask me questions because I'm so busy setting my 15 lineups and everything else like that. And the ranking set gets to be a little bit difficult, and I know this upcoming week, not this week, but upcoming week with Thanksgiving will be certainly difficult for many people out there. But JB Fantasy Sports on Twitter. I will give a quick plug. We have our podcast every Tuesday, the RotoWire podcast, breaking down free agent waiver wire pickups for your league. You want to avoid having to make dumb trade offers to somebody else? Listen to our podcast. Go ahead and pick up the free agent guys that we recommend because we've been on a few of them pretty early on in the season that have been major difference makers. Then every Friday on SiriusXM Radio from 12 to 2 Eastern, I'm on there breaking down the week's matchups with my co-host Mario Puig. It's been a fun thing this season to be able to do that for, and I've been enjoying getting to be on that platform as well, too.
Tom, we made it. We're those dumb guys that he's referring to. So we're making it to the bigger level of things.
Well, it's not. You were just the one on the other side, apparently.
That wasn't setting his lineup. I mean, that was pretty dumb on my part.
Yeah. You were the one not listening to my podcast. That
exactly. That's where I was dumb.
There you go.
That's where I was dumb. Joe, thank you for the time today. We'll talk again sometime soon, okay? Next week, probably not with the Thanksgiving holiday. So, again, well wishes to you and the fam. First Thanksgiving for Ollie, right?
Yeah, first Thanksgiving for Ollie, my son. He just got his 4-month checkup today. Everything's going great. And it'll be the first time, honestly, with COVID and everything else, that a lot of my extended family gets to meet him. So I'm
really
excited.
That's so amazing.
Yeah, I'm not a huge Thanksgiving guy normally, but I've been like checking the calendar and getting really excited for this to have so many other people get to meet him too. It'll be a really fun time.
Amazing. So we'll talk to you after Thanksgiving then to hear all about it, okay?
Yeah, that sounds great. Thanks, guys, and best wishes to you and your family too.